Morning. Today's daf in Bava Metzia is Mem Hey. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf as one as Zechon Eshmach Libi Gabriel Bashmuel. We find ourselves today in Mem Dal Amud Beis. We are just about halfway down on the Amud. Started the fourth parak of Bava Metzia yesterday and referred to as Parak Hazav. The reason why is based on the first mission. The first mission that tells us that Zav Kornas HaKesef, HaKesef Ena Kornas HaZav, that gold can acquire silver, but silver cannot acquire gold. And as we explained yesterday, the Mishnah is based on some fundamental principles regarding currency versus commodity. By Kinyanim, when you're making a transaction with somebody, so the means of transaction is the Meshichas HaKesef. You have to take the item and you have to pull the item in your direction. Once you do that, you are Kona the item, you acquire the item. Prior to that point in time, you do not acquire any of the item. In fact, it goes so far as to say that even if the lokeach, even if the buyer pays for the item first, that does not substantiate the kinyan. That does not validate the kinyan. Kinyan is not made. Now, the Mishnah did know that at that point in time, it's not right to back out of the transaction. You shouldn't do so. Misha Parah, the one who extracts penalty and punishment against the Dor HaMabul, the Dor HaFlaga, generations who were not ethical, who were not moral, especially regarding financial matters. So Kadosh Baruch Hu will not be happy with you if you back out of a transaction. But the Liba de Hilchasa, according to the strict letter of the law, the transaction has not been finalized. The sale has not been finalized until Meshichas HaChefetz, until you pull on the item. And so therefore, what we're discussing in our Mishnah is something extraordinarily interesting, that when we're talking about coins are generally viewed as currency. However, what our Mishnah is teaching us is that when we're talking about gold coins relative to gold coins, so one is going to take the role of the currency and the other is going to take the role of the commodity. So the Mishnah says, let's put side by side gold and silver. Gold and silver, even though gold is more chashuv, gold is a more significant metal, and nevertheless, silver is the currency. Silver takes the role of the currency. So if we're doing an exchange between gold and silver, so since silver is a currency and gold is a commodity, so that means that when is the kinyan bin validated? When the one who is buying the gold pulls on the gold. That he is now taking the commodity, that's the chefetz, that's the item in which is being sold, and the silver just representing currency. That's just simply the money. And that's what the Mishnah means when the Mishnah says, Zahav Kones HaKesef, that gold acquires silver, that when you're pulling on the gold, that's the commodity. The silver is just a currency. And the opposite is also true. HaKesef Einu Kones HaZav, when you are the one pulling on the silver, he's just taking the currency. He's just getting payment. But that doesn't substantiate, that doesn't validate the sale. The sale is only going to be valid when the commodity is being pulled. That's what we learned together in the Mishnah. Then when we saw the Gemara yesterday, so the Gemara opened up with, you know, Rebbe, in the earlier years of his life, he thought the opposite was true. He thought that when it's a gold and silver transaction, a gold and silver exchange, he thought that gold takes the role of the currency and silver takes the role of the commodity. And then later in his life, Rebbe reversed his position. And what our Mishnah is reflecting is Rebbe Bezichnusa, Rebbe and his older years. But in his younger years, Rebbe did not think that way. Rebbe thought the opposite. And then the Gemara pointed out, why did Rebbe think differently in his earlier years? So Rebbe said that when we're talking about identification and definition of currency, the definition of currency is gold relative to silver is the currency. Why? Because gold is more chashuv, gold is more significant. It's a more precious metal, and so therefore, gold in a gold silver transaction, gold will be the currency, and silver will be the commodity. That's what Rebbe thought in his early years. In his later years, Rebbe then changed his mind based on what would seem to be a new definition of a currency, and that would be charifus. Charifus meaning that silver is just simply more viewed as legal tender. Silver is a proper form, a proper mechanism of transaction across the board. It's more accepted by people. And so therefore silver turns into the currency and the gold will be the commodity. Okay. This is basically what we saw up until, this is a summary of what we saw up until this point in time. And the Gemara now notes that even though, despite the fact that we have a Mishnah, and the Mishnah reflects the opinion of Rebbe Bezichnusa, we will have a number of supports that would suggest that there are others, other Braisos, who reflect this opinion that Rebbe originally had in his lifetime, that gold is the gold relative to silver, gold is a currency and silver is the commodity. And this is where we are now in the Gemara. We're in Mem Dalet Amud Beis. Yeah. Yeah. In other words, right. The correct meaning. This. It's going to be such an interesting discussion because, as we will note, in other words, it's gold relative to silver. Let's say it's gold relative to fruit, or gold relative to any object. Meaning then, the argument could end, and in fact will be later on, that of course gold then is a currency. So it's interesting how these coins take on different roles relative to what they're being transacted against. I mean, that's... Huh? Exactly. And still, even though you're quote unquote buying silver, I mean, again, we're talking about coinage over here. We're not talking about just bars of metal. But even in your example, where you go in with the intent of I want to buy silver, but still, in other words, if you're using gold coins, the silver is still going to be qualified as currency. At least that's what it would seem to be. Although I do understand your position, but that's what it would seem to be. Yeah, right, correct. In other words, it was more charif. It was more accepted. Okay, with that stated, we are now in the Gemara. We are a little bit towards the halfway point of the Af Rabbi Chiya. Okay, in the Gemara, it's about a quarter of the way down. I take it back. I said a half. Okay, I'm changing my position. It's about a quarter of the way down. In my Gemara, it's the last two words of the line. The Af Rabbi Chiya Savar Dahava Tiva Have. Rabbi Chiya also is of the opinion that gold is considered a currency, and the Gemara says, and how do I know this? Based on the following. The Rav Osef Dinari Mi Barte De Rabbi Chiya. What happened is that Rav borrowed dinarim from the daughter of Rabbi Chiya. Lesof Iyakar Dinare. Now, the... what ends up happening? I'm sorry. Let me explain this a little bit better. When I said dinarim, where dinarim usually is a reference to gold, right? Rashi over here says that he borrowed gold coins from the daughter Rabbi Chiya, and then afterwards the price of gold coins went up. And now the question is, when he pays back, if he's going to be paying back with the gold coins, even though he's paying back with the same number of gold coins that he borrowed, but now the value is going to be higher. And effectively, what's going to happen is that he borrowed, in terms of value, I'm just throwing out numbers, $100, and what he's paying back is $120. Again, it's the same gold coins being exchanged back and forth, but the value is going to be greater in which he paid back. And that smacks of ribis. That sounds like interest that's being paid back. Now, let's be clear. And the fifth parak of Bar Metzia is dedicated to the topic of ribis. So I don't want to belabor the point right now, but let's be clear. When we are doing simple loans of money, so, and you are paying back the same number of coins that you borrowed, well, there's an implicit understanding that, of course, money goes up in value, money goes down in value. And there is no way that we can ever suggest that when it comes to money, as long as I'm paying the same number of coins, we can't consider that to be an interest payment based on the fact that the value of the coins went up or the value of the coins went down. Otherwise, who could ever lend money? I mean, we would arrive at a nearly absurd conclusion. However, with that stated, the Chachamim, and we're going to discuss this more extensively in the fifth parak. So I'm just going to mention it now. It's necessary for us to know just to understand the flow of the Gemara, but this will come up much more extensively in the fifth parak. The Chachamim, however, said that when you're doing an exchange of commodity, not currency, when you're doing an exchange of commodity, so the Chachamim said that we are worried about price fluctuation. And that means that if, let's say, I say to you, can you lend me a dozen eggs? And then I go ahead and I lend her a dozen eggs, and then she comes back a month later giving me a dozen eggs. So the Chachamim were worried that the dozen eggs that she's going to give me back is going to be higher in value than the dozen that I gave her. And obviously, this is not ribis d'oraisa, but the Chachamim said that if we get used to this kind of transaction, so basically it will lead to ribis d'oraisa. So therefore, they slapped this, they branded this with a ribis d'rabanan label. And therefore, you're not allowed to do that. And then, of course, it comes out then that you're not allowed to. Somebody says, can I borrow flour? I'll pay you back. So then you're not allowed to lend the flour. We're going to discuss that more extensively in the fifth parak. That's coming up later. But in the meantime, however, we have to familiarize ourselves with this basic idea that you are not allowed to lend commodity and get paid back commodity for this rabbinic concern. This is called, we're going to hear this term a lot in the fifth parak, this is called sa'ah bisa'ah, right? Literally a measure for a measure. Okay, this is a rabbinic prohibition of transaction. And now the Gemara is going to point out the following. This is a rabbinic prohibition, but this is exclusive to commodity. The rabbinic prohibition does not include currency. And again, as I pointed out a moment ago, it can't include currency. Because if it were to include currency, then no one would ever be allowed to lend money and get paid back if we're worried about price fluctuation. So the Gemara now points out the following. So here we have a story where Rav borrowed money, gold coins, and now he wants to pay back. The gold price of the gold coins went up in value, and now he's worried about ribbis. So he goes and he asks the question. Also come into Rabbi Chiya, Amar Leizor Shlim Leitavim V'Tiklin. And so Rabbi Chiya says, I don't understand what the issue is. You borrowed gold coins? Great. You'll pay back with gold coins and the same number of gold coins that you borrowed. That's what you're going to pay back. So Rabbi Chiya basically said, this is a no-brainer. I got this one. So now the Gemara points out, now, Iyamart Bishlama Dahavativa Havishapir. Now, if the way they properly view gold coins is that gold coins is a currency, not a commodity, so then we totally understand the give and the take, the question and the answer. So, Ella Iyamart Perahave, so Havale Sa'ah Bisa'ah. The usher. If, however, the proper way to view gold coins is that it's a commodity, not a currency, so then this falls under the category of sa basar, and therefore it should be usher. So this is now the Gemara formulating that it seems like, based on this exchange between Rabbi Chiya and Rav, Rabbi Chiya is viewing a gold coin as a currency, not a commodity. And this now reflects back on Rebbe's position when he was younger. Rebbe's position when he was younger says that gold is a currency. So the Gemara says like this. So the Gemara says, Rav dinari havalu v'kevin de havalu dinari nasi karmelo haveni ashi avo b'ni awach emsa mafteach. So the Gemara says, well, maybe we could sidestep the whole issue. Because perhaps, and the Gemara is speculating, and it's... Let's speculate together with the Gemara. It could very well be that when Rav was borrowing the coins, maybe gold coins really are a commodity. Could be. And yet... And there is a rabbinic prohibition of saw basah. And yet over here, it would be okay for Rav to pay back with the gold coins, because maybe, perhaps. When Rav borrowed the gold coins, it's not that he didn't have any gold coins himself. He had them, but they were locked away. And they were just simply not in a position of liquidity. The Gemara over here discusses where it was in a chest, and he didn't have the key to the chest right now currently. But he had the gold coins on him at the time. And what the Gemara now is suggesting is that under these circumstances, there is no problem of saw basah. Remember, saw basah is a rabbinic concern. With a rabbinic concern, so there can be room of maneuverability. Here, as long as Rav had the gold coins on his possession, even though they were currently in a position where they were unobtainable, but they were on his possession, so therefore, by him borrowing gold coins, even if we were to view the gold coin as a commodity, he could pay back with gold coins because he had them all along. Okay, this is...
He had the potential to be back any minute.
Yeah. Yeah.
In terms of the principle of if the person doesn't lend... The price is going to go up anyways, so it's not getting rebid.
Again, we'll discuss more of it later on. Right now, the Gemara is just using the concept over here to understand how to define gold coins. Is it as a currency or as a commodity? Okay, fifth parak, we'll discuss in much greater detail. The Gemara says, let's do it one more time. We're going to see another brisa that also seems to put gold under the category of currency, not commodity. Detanya, the Gemara teaches us the following brisa. So again, we know that back then they had coins made up of three different metals: copper, silver, gold. Copper was the cheapest, silver was the middle, and the gold was the most expensive. And the Gemara gives us a way of conversion. So when we're talking about the pruta, that's the copper coin, it's an eighth of the Italian isar. And you need to know that because the first Mishnah Kedushin teaches us that when you're Mekadosh a woman, you have to be Mekadosh with something of a value of a Shaveh Pruta. It has to be worth a Pruta. How much is a Pruta? We know it's an eighth of an Isar. Apparently, Isar back then was a much popular coin that was used. Anyway, Isar Echemeyatsrim Varba Bedina Shokesev. An Isar is valued at a 24th of a dinar shokesev, the silver dinar. And lamay nafkamin lameka chomemkar. Now you need to know that because when you go into the market, so people are going to be using dinarim, silver dinarim. People are going to be using the isari italki. So you want to know how much I give, how much I get in exchange. So the Gemara says you need to know that information. And dinar shokesev echa me'asrim v'chamisha b'dinar shalzav. Now in terms of the silver dinar, the silver dinar is a 25th of a gold dinar. So lamai nafkamin l'pidgin aben. Now you need to know that for pidgin aben, meaning that if I have a firstborn son and I want to redeem my firstborn son, so I have to give. I have to go over to a kohen and I have to give him 5 salaim. 5 salaim of the Torah is equivalent to 20 silver dinarim. Okay, so I go over to the kohen and I want to give him 20 silver dinarim. I don't have that on my possession right now, but you know what? I have a gold dinar. Perfect. I'll give him the gold dinar, which is worth 25 silver dinarim. And now what's the kohen going to do? He's going to give me change. How much change is he going to give me? 5 silver dinarim. Perfect. So the Gemara says, now what just happened? What just happened is that we saw a brisa that gave us a conversion of how many prutas go into an isar italki, how many isar italkis go into a silver dinar, and how many silver dinar go into a gold dinar. So basically, it's pretty clear. I mean, the question kind of speaks for itself. But what's pretty clear is that we're viewing all of them as currency, especially when we're attaching the value of one to another. So they're clearly all currency, and the Gemara basically articulates this very point. The Gemara says it seems pretty clear that they're all currencies, because look what we're doing. We are basically setting the value of one against another. So the Gemara says, now, imagine, gold is not a currency, gold is a commodity. So now what we're doing, we're attaching a value of a currency against a commodity. The commodity fluctuates in price. Now, it's true that the currency also fluctuates in price, but the assumption is if fluctuation of price in a currency, basically all, you know, they're all one happy family. It all goes together. But how can you compare the value of a currency against the value of a commodity? That's basically the Gemara's question. But if gold is a commodity, not a currency, we're going to attach the price of a silver dinar against a gold coin if a gold coin is a commodity. And there it is, jumping up and down in value. And we're attaching one to the other. So Zimna de Mahadale Kana Vizimna de Mosifle, Iula Kahana. And now what you're going to do is you're going to be giving a gold coin over to a coin and you're expecting change. And if the gold coin is a commodity, not a currency, so when he gives you the 5 slime and change, it may be too much, it may be too little. Gemara says, it obviously gold coin must be viewed as a currency. Elosh Mamina, Tiva Havish Mamina. So the Gemara says, we see pretty clearly from this brace as well, that a gold coin is a currency, not a commodity. Okay, so basically, where do we stand right now? Hopefully very confused. I don't like saying that. You know, obviously, one of my principal goals is to present it as clearly as possible. But in terms of how to properly view gold coin, whether as a commodity or whether as a currency, so basically the Mishnah very, very clearly, very flatly says that gold relative to silver is a commodity, not a currency. And that's why when you are making an exchange between gold and silver, once you are moshech the gold, you acquired it because you are acquiring the chefetz adavar. That's a commodity. Then, in respect to what we learned in the Mishnah, we learned that Rebbe Bialdusa, Rebbe in his younger years, felt that gold was a currency relative to silver. And then what we did is we cited many sources that would seem to indicate that gold is a currency, not a commodity. And so where are we right now? A little bit confused in terms of how to view gold, whether as a currency or whether as a commodity. Tanan Hasam. And again, every time I say the word gold, please understand I'm talking about gold coins. I'm not talking about just unminted gold. Okay, Tanan Hasan, we learned in the Mishnah over there. Okay, the rest of today's daf, we're going to be sitting on this Mishnah. So let's get really comfortable and familiar with this Mishnah. Just a quick amount of background that we know already, but just to remind each other. Every year that I live in Eretz Yisrael, and I go out and I harvest my grain and my fruit, so I have to take off Trumas HaMaisos. And of the Trumas HaMaisos that I have to take off, the first thing I take off is Truma Gadol, that's 2% that goes to the Kohen. The next thing I take off is Maisa Rishon, that's 10% that goes to the Levi. And the next thing I take off is going to depend on what year it is in the Shemitah cycle. In years 1, 2, 4, and 5, I take off Maisa Sheni. In year 3 and 6, I take off Maisa Ani. Okay. So in years 1, 2, 4, and 5, I take off Maaser Sheni. What do I do with Maaser Sheni? So the Torah instructs that I take the Maaser Sheni and I go to Yerushalayim and I eat the Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim. Okay, but we're talking about fruit, the perishables. And so the fruit may or may not even survive the trip. And even if they survive the trip, we're talking about, okay, it's very difficult to imagine that every point in the year which I take off my Maaser Sheni, I have to go to Yerushalayim and I have to eat in Yerushalayim. Torah understood that, and the Torah affords the opportunity of to be michalel, to take the sanctity of the Maaser Sheni and to take the fruit and to transfer the sanctity from the fruit onto money. And then what the Torah then instructs me to do is to take the money when I go to Yerushalayim and spend the money on b'chol asher tavez nafshecha, anything that you desire. And then the Torah gives a list of different food options that you could buy. But basically, I take the money, I go to Yerushalayim, I buy food with it, and I eat the food in Yerushalayim. And so basically now what's going to happen is that the Kedushas Maaser Sheni is going to transfer from the money onto the food. Okay. And this is the basic idea of Maaser Sheni. Generally speaking, and this point I'm about to make is going to be important for the end of today's daf. Generally speaking, what do? People are very economical with their time, and a lot of double dipping is going to happen. And basically, when do you think I'm going to go to Yerushalayim in order to spend my Maaser Sheni money? And the answer is Aliya Lerego. The time that I go up to Yerushalayim for the three times a year when we're Ola Lerego. So those are the times, obviously, that I'm going to bring my Maaser Sheni money. I'm going up anyway, so I'll bring my Maaser Sheni together with me. Adkan, that is just the basic background information that we need to know. And now we're going to learn together a Mishnah in Maaser Sheni. Tanan Hasam, here's the Mishnah. Beishami Omrim Lo Yasa Adam Salaim Dinari Zav. Here's what you're not allowed to do. You have now taken a number of your Maaser Sheni food and you've transferred it onto coins, specifically silver coins. So Beishami is of the opinion that here's what you cannot do. You cannot now take these silver coins that have Kedushas Maaser Sheni on them, and you cannot then deconsecrate the Kedusha onto a gold coin. And you understand that this would be extraordinarily beneficial. Meaning, as we just learned a moment ago, there are 25 silver coins that go into a gold coin. I'm going to Yerushalayim. Would I prefer to carry 25 silver coins, or would I like to carry one gold coin? I think the answer is pretty good, pretty obvious. If I'm going to have to bear the burden and weight of going to Yerushalayim, so obviously I'd like to travel light. So I would like to transfer all the silver coins onto a gold coin. Beit Shammai says you cannot do it. The Ubeisel Amatirin, and Beisel says that you're allowed to do it. So you're allowed to take all your silver coins that have Kedushas Maaser Sheni, and you can transfer that over into a gold coin and go to Yerushalayim with your gold coin. Okay, that is the Mishnah Maaser Sheni. And from this point going forward, what we're going to offer, are three different explanations of how to understand the machlokus between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Beit Shammai says he can, Beit Hillel says he can. And what is this debate going to revolve around? So let us see. And as you can imagine, the reason why we're introducing this Mishnah Maaser Sheni over here in the fourth parak of Bava Metzia is predicated on the fact that the first explanation is going to be relevant, it's going to be germane to our discussion in our Mishnah. Let's see it inside. Tanan, so I already read the Mishnah. I'll read it one more time. Beit Shammai Omrim Lo Yasa Adam Salaim Dinari Zahav Ubeis Hillel Matirim. Now, Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. So in this Mishnah in Maaser Sheni, we have a machlokas between Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. Chan Amar, machlokas b'salaim al dinarim. One says that the issue is that you're not allowed to transfer the silver coins onto gold coins. To Beit Shammai Savri Kaspativa v'dahava pera. Because here's the problem. Beit Shammai is of the opinion that the silver is a currency. The gold is a commodity, and v'teva per lo mechalalinan. And you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to transfer the kedusha from a currency onto a commodity. Now, again, let's just remind one another. Once you're in Yerushalayim, so then not only are you allowed to, that's of course what you want to do, but you want to transfer it on actual fruit, not on an item. But still, the point is that if gold is viewed as a commodity and silver is viewed as a currency, so then I totally understand. I can only transfer Kedusha from currency to currency, but not from currency to commodity. And that would mean then that according to Beit Shammai, we'll get to that next point in just a moment. And Beit Shammai is of the opinion that silver is considered a commodity and gold is considered a currency. And therefore, there would be no problem transferring the Kedusha from the silver coin onto the gold coin. Because silver, relative to gold, is commodity to currency. And so therefore, you're allowed to transfer it. Ava peres al dinarim divrei hakol mechalalinan. The Gemara says, however, we're all in agreement that if I wanted to transfer the Kedusha from the original fruit onto a gold coin, everybody but would agree that you're allowed to do that. My taima, me did to have a kesef. Le Beis Hillel kesef. Me did to have a kesef. So it would be just like silver, meaning that when I'm transferring directly onto gold, it would be just like transferring onto silver, and therefore it would be fine. I'm sorry. My time needed to have a kesef. I'm sorry. Needed to have a kesef le beis hillel. So kesef le beis hillel afa gab de kasba le gabi de hava pera hava le gabi pera tiva hava zav nami le beis shamay afa gab de hava le gabi kasba pera hava le gabi pera tiva hava. Okay. And basically, look, the only debate and discussion is gold relative to silver. Meaning gold relative to silver, so there we're going to have a discussion / debate in terms of whether or not it's considered currency to commodity, commodity to currency. But everybody's in agreement that from the original fruit itself, gold is for sure considered a currency, not a commodity. Okay. V'chad amar af beperes al dinarim machlokes. And one says no. That even if I'm going directly from the original Maaser Sheni fruit onto a gold coin, there's still going to be a debate between Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beit Shammai says you can't do that, and Beis Hillel says you can't do that. So, and Beit Shammai's position is that a gold coin under all circumstances is viewed as a commodity, not a currency. Okay. Ulaman damar af beperes al dinar machlokes. So the Gemara says, so let's gather ourselves. So we have a Mishnah Maaser Sheni, and the Mishnah Maaser Sheni debates whether or not you can transfer the Kedusha of Maaser Sheni from a silver coin onto a gold coin. And we have a Machlokes Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. So the Gemara now wonders out loud. Wait one second. So you're telling me now that according to one opinion, their debate is not really about whether or not I can transfer from silver into gold, but really it's more fundamental, and that is, can I transfer to gold altogether? So the Gemara now says, "Ademifigli v'salaim al dinarim, liflog beperos al dinarim." So the Gemara says, "So if that's really the issue, so why doesn't the Mishnah provide the most basic point, which is that a gold coin is objectively a commodity, and therefore I cannot transfer the kedusha from the original fruit itself, the Maaser Sheni fruit itself, onto a gold coin?" And so what the Mishnah seems to have done is miss the most basic point. So the Gemara says, "E if look beperes al dinarim, hava minahani mila beperes al dinarim, hava b'slaim al dinarim, modelam beisela la beishamai, did the hava gabe kaspa pera hava v'lo mechalalinan kamash malan." So the Gemara says, what we could say is as follows. No, really a gold coin is considered a commodity, and according to Beit Shammai, I cannot transfer directly from the original fruit onto a gold coin because he views it as a commodity. But if the Mishnah would have written that, so then I might have thought that according to Beis Hillel, who says that gold coin is a currency, not a commodity, that's only if I'm going direct from fruit to coin. But according to Beis Hillel, I might have thought, if the Mishnah had not told me this, I might have thought that once I transferred onto a silver coin, well, a silver coin cannot then be transferred onto a gold coin, because gold relative to silver is considered a commodity, and therefore I'm not allowed to do that. Therefore, what Beis Hillel needs to teach me is that I can transfer from a silver coin to a gold coin, and that's why the Mishnah presented it in this format. Otherwise, I would have thought differently within Beis Hillel. Okay, now, Tistayim. We are now in the very bottom of Mendal Amud Beis, and the Gemara says, let's conclude. Because remember, Mishnah in Maaser Sheni that tells us that, according to Beit Shammai, cannot transfer Kedushas Maaser Sheni from silver coin to gold coin. Beis Hillel says you're allowed to. Within that, there's a Machlokas Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, although right now, the Gemara did not say who said what. One is of the opinion that their entire debate is going from silver to gold, but you're allowed to go from fruit to gold coin. And the other says, no, even from fruit to gold coin, you cannot do that, because the gold coin is objectively a commodity, not a currency. So the Gemara says, Tistayim, now let's conclude, the Rav Yochanan Damar, Ein Mechalin, that you're not allowed to go from fruit to gold coin, to Amar Rav Yochanan. And the reason why is based on a statement made by Rav Yochanan, which is, Aser Lovos Dinare, I'm sorry, Dinar Bidinar. One is not allowed to lend a coin for a coin. Now, dinar demai, what does that mean? Top of Memhe Amud Aleph. Ile medina shokasa bedina shokasa lagabe nafshei mikalaman damar lav tiva have. So the Gemara says, are we talking about lending a silver coin and getting back a silver coin? Gemara says that's just unfathomable. What does that mean? I can't lend a silver coin and expect a silver coin back as payment? Everyone's of the opinion that a silver coin relative to a silver coin is considered a currency. And the Gemara says that cannot be what Rav Yochanan meant. It's just simply untenable. Elapshita dina shozav bedina shozav. So it must be that what Rav Yochanan is prohibiting is lending a gold coin and getting gold coin back as payment. Ulaman. And the Gemara says, now when Rav Yochanan made that statement, he was operating within whose position? Ila Beis Hillel Hamri Tiva Have. Now didn't Beis Hillel tell me that a gold coin is considered currency? I know that because according to Beis Hillel, I can transfer the Kedusha of Maaser Sheni from a silver coin to a gold coin. And the only way I can transfer Kedusha is I'm transferring from one currency to another currency. So according to Beis Hillel, a gold coin clearly is a currency. So the Gemara says, it must be that he is saying this within the opinion of Beis Shammai. And parenthetically, yes, it's weird. Yes, it's strange that Rav Yochanan is issuing a ruling based on the ruling of Beit Shammai. But at least now we understand where that's coming from. Ushmamina Rav Yochanan Udamay Mechalim. And it must be then that Rav Yochanan is of the opinion that a gold coin is objectively a commodity, not a currency. And that's why I can't lend a gold coin and receive gold coin back as payment. And again, why not? What's the problem with that? So again, we go back to a point that we made a little bit earlier this morning. Because if a gold coin is a commodity, not a currency, so that now violates the rabbinic prohibition of sa'a b'sa'a, that I can't lend you a commodity and get the commodity back in payment for fear that the price may fluctuate. This is only a rabbinic ban when lending and borrowing commodity, not when lending and borrowing currency. So this ruling of Rav Yochanan is operating within the Beis Shammai position that a gold coin is objectively a commodity, not a currency. The Gemara says, "Lo, la'olam ema alacha Rav Yochanan hudama mechalin." So it could be that Rav Yochanan's of the opinion that you can transfer the Kedusha from the fruit, the original Maaser Sheni fruit, onto the gold coin. Meaning a gold coin is a currency, not a commodity. Vishani hava kevin deling emeko chamemka shavin rabbanan ki pera damrinan iu nami deoker vizil lagabe hava nami pera hava. The Gemara says it's just simply that a gold coin is going to behave differently based on the context. If we're talking about chilul Maaser Sheni, deconsecrating the Kedusha Maaser Sheni, the gold coin's a currency. If we're talking about mekach u'memkar, if we're talking about exchange, business exchange transaction, we're going to treat the gold coin like a commodity, not like a currency. And if we're talking about lending, so we're going to, since by transaction it's viewed as a commodity, by lending it's also going to be viewed as a commodity. So basically, we can still say that according to Rav Yochanan, the gold coin is not objectively a commodity. It's just simply going to be relative to the context in which we are discussing it. The Gemara says, Hachinam and Mistabra, and the Gemara says, and you know what? This position we could understand it. In fact, Rav Yochanan said it as a statement, which is that despite the fact that I can't lend gold coins and get gold coins back as payment, but one could deconsecrate the kedusha of Maaser Sheni onto a gold coin. So you see that Rav Yochanan views a gold coin within the context of what we're dealing with. If we're talking about a loan, it's a commodity. If we're talking about deconsecrating Maaser Sheni, it's a currency. Shmami, now the Gemara says, okay. So right now, where do we stand? We don't know if Rav Yochanan, his understanding of that Mishnah, Maaser Sheni, is that at least within Beit Shammai's position, a gold coin is objectively a commodity. You could argue that, but the Gemara says you can also argue otherwise. Tashma. Gemara says, okay, what we'll do now is we're going to learn another Mishnah in Maaser Sheni. Okay, Mishnah goes as follows. Aparit Salami Ma'os Maaser Sheni, Beishami Armim Bechol Hasela Ma'os, Ubeisela Armim Beshekel Kesef Beshekel Ma'os. Okay, you are now going to transfer your Maaser Sheni money. Okay, let's say that you have Maos Nechoshes. Let's say you have copper coins of Maaser Sheni. And what you want to do is you want to transfer them over into silver coins. So basically now we are moving into the discussion to copper silver. Meaning up until now we've been talking silver gold. Now we're talking about copper silver. So you have a bunch of Maaser Sheni copper coins, and now you want to transfer it over into silver coins to bring it up to Yerushalayim. And again, you're doing so because it's just going to be a lot lighter. Meaning you have all those copper coins. Let's lighten the load a little bit. So we're going to transfer it now into silver coins. So Beit Shammai is of the opinion, Bechol Hasela Ma'os. So Beit Shammai is of the opinion that, fine, you can take all your copper coins and you can basically move it over into silver coins. And Beis Hillel Amrim, B'shekel Kesef, B'shekel Ma'os. And Beis Hillel is of the opinion that don't do it with all your copper coins. Leave over copper coins. Rashi writes, Lo Yifrot Ela Chetzian. Okay, in other words, take half your copper coins, roll that over into silver coins, help you lighten the load, but the other half of the copper coins keep as copper coins. Okay, and I'm going to read on in Rashi. Look at how Beis Hillel, Rashi, right, the Gemara, look at how they understand financial forces. It's fantastic. Rashi writes, Shehaprutos Yotzos B'Yerushalayim, because copper coins, it's a small coin. And basically, they're great for small change. And Kishiyavosham Yehitzarach Lefrotos Miyad Liknot Tzarach Yisuda. And when you go and all you have are big bills, so who likes to take a big bill? Quite frankly, nobody. Meaning it's, you know, great to have, it's great to carry, but you know, try going to the gas station store and take out 100. And okay. So the imia wrote so hakol else eight so shochana lifrot. And so what happens now if all you have are silver coins and everybody only has silver coins, so they're going to be running to the shochani in order to break it down into copper. So now what's going to happen is that there's going to be a high demand of copper coins. Rashi writes, Yokira haprotos v'nimtza maaser sheni nifsad. So what's going to happen now is that the value of the copper coin is going to go up significantly, and now what's going to happen is that all that Maaser Sheni value that's in the silver is going to go down in price. And now, so basically what Beis Hillel is doing is he realizes that there does not want to be a run on copper coins, so basically what he's instructing is that when you're going up to Yerushalayim, so even though I understand the motivation of why you don't want to take all your copper coins and move it into silver, but we don't want everyone coming to Yerushalayim with only silver and no copper coins, and that'll create a artificial demand of the copper coin. So the Gemara says that is the opinion of Beis Hillel. So therefore, b'shekel kesef b'shekel ma'os hashda. And so now the Gemara makes the following observation: So now the Gemara makes a very simple point. According to Beis Shammai, you just were mechalel a copper coin onto a silver coin. Okay, so now, The Gemara says, if you could be mechala a copper coin onto a silver coin, don't you think that you could be mechala directly onto a gold coin as well? Meaning, if a copper coin is viewed as a currency, so you don't think a gold coin could be viewed as a currency? So the Gemara says, no, I can make a distinction. Shani pritabas or desagin harifin. So the Gemara says, I really don't see this as being much of an issue. Meaning, a copper coin is a more is more legal tender. I mean, everybody accepts a copper coin as a currency. So I can easily envision how a copper coin can be viewed as currency, but a gold coin is objectively commodity, not a currency. So the Gemara says that even though it seems like a good question, it can easily deflect. Lishna Achrina. We're in Memhei Amud Aleph, we're halfway down on the Amud, and basically what we're going to do is all this again, but in a slightly different version. Amila Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. So we have a debate between Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, Chana Ma'amachlok, the debate in the Mishnah in Ma'aser Sheni is silver onto gold. Debate Shammai Sefer HaKesef, Kesef Rishon. And so now in the second version, what we're going to be doing is going over the same Mishnah Ma'aser Sheni about Beit Shammai's prohibition of taking your silver coin and being mechal onto gold coin. And Beit Hillel says that you're allowed to. And here we are now with explanation number two. Over the course of this morning, three explanations in total. Explanation number two goes as follows. The problem, according to Beit Shammai, is as follows. You can only make one transfer. You're going to be transferring the Kedusha from the original Ma'aser Sheni fruit onto money. And you could do it one time, not two. You'll see. We're going to be darshing psukim. Obey silo savri hakesef kesef riba ve'afilu kesef sheni. And basilo, based on the fact that the Torah says hakesef two times, it's a ribu, it's an inclusion that you could do multiple transactions, multiple transfers. Avaperes al dinarim divrei akol mechalalinan. But that means that if I'm going directly from fruit onto gold coin, that's not a problem, because the issue is not whether or not you can be mechala onto a gold coin. That in of itself is fine. It's just a question of one transfer, not two transfers. De'akati kesef rishon hu. V'chad amar af beperes al dinarim nami machlokes. And the other says no. That going directly from the fruit, the original Ma'aser Sheni fruit, onto the gold coin is the debate between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Aman damar, sorry, period. So now over here in this presentation of Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, so the issue could very well be that you're only allowed to do one transfer, not two transfers. So the Gemara says now, let's ask a really simple question. Ulaman damar salaim al dinarim machlokas adam iflugli b'salaim al dinarim liflugli b'salaim al salaim. Gemara asks such a fantastic question. If the entire issue is one transfer, not two transfers, so then the Mishnah should be making the following point, which is, I can't transfer from a silver coin onto a silver coin. Having nothing to do with change of metal. Having nothing to do with currency versus commodity. It's just a simple function of only one transfer, not two transfers. And if the Mishnah was there to communicate that idea, the Mishnah should just simply say, you're not allowed to transfer from a silver coin onto another silver coin. So, the Gemara says, again, you're right, the Mishnah could have written that, but if the Mishnah would have written that you're not allowed to transfer from silver unto silver, I then would not have known the Chiddush that Beis Hillel allows me to transfer not only from silver to silver, Beis Hillel allows me to transfer from silver to gold. And if the Mishnah would have only concentrated on silver to silver, I wouldn't have gotten that point out as well, that according to Beis Hillel, you can transfer from silver to gold. Tashma, the Gemara now is going to quote this next Mishnah that we're already familiar with. Beis Shammah, I remember. So when I'm transferring my copper coins of Ma'aser Sheni onto silver coins, so Beit Shammai says you can roll it all into silver. And Beit Hillel says no, half. Roll half of it into silver coins, keep the other half of your copper coins, so that when you go to Yerushalayim, you don't create a run on copper coins. So the Gemara says, now over here, what just happened? We rolled a copper coin onto a silver coin. That's two transfers. So the Gemara says, so you see over here that according to Beit Shammai, you're allowed two transfers, a copper coin onto a silver coin. So the Gemara says, so how can we even entertain this idea that according to Beit Shammai, the issue is that you're not allowed to make two transfers? It's such a strong question. Amar Rava Yerushalayim Kamosaft, Shani Yerushalayim Dechzebev, Nasata Kesev Bechol Asher Tava Nafshecha, Babakar Vatzon. So the Gemara says, well, maybe in defense of our position that you can only do one transfer, not two transfers, that's true outside of Yerushalayim. But once you go into Yerushalayim, since the Torah essentially gives you carte blanche in terms of what you can do with the money, you can buy whatever you want, so once you're in Yerushalayim, you can also make a second transfer as well. And if you think about it a little bit more, it really makes perfect sense. Because imagine, you're in Yerushalayim, you have your Meister Sheni money. Imagine where you're buying food and you can't make change.
Right.
In other words, you're there and you're going through the markets of Yerushalayim with your Meister Sheni money, and I'd like to buy the fruit, but I don't have, in other words, I don't want all that fruit, I'd like a little bit of fruit. Can you imagine that you can't make change? So if you think about it just from a common sense standpoint, it makes perfect sense that there's going to be a difference between being outside Yerushalayim, inside Yerushalayim. Outside Yerushalayim, one transfer. Inside Yerushalayim, you can make multiple transfers. Tashma. The Gemara says, Apari tzela mimaos maestro sheni beishame omrim becholah tzela maos beisela omrim beshekel kesef beshekel maos. So the Gemara quotes a brisa, so the Gemara says, and in this brisa, it certainly sounds like you can make multiple transfers, and the and this brisa in context is talking about outside Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says concession. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's now clear our heads. And the Gemara says, so this second explanation, the Gemara suggested, but does not seem to work out. And so therefore now we are entering the third explanation and the final explanation of the Mishnah Maaser Sheni. Again, the Mishnah Maaser Sheni tells me that according to Beit Shammai, I am not allowed to roll over my silver Maaser Sheni coins onto a gold coin. According to Beis Hillel, I'm allowed to. And so far, let's just quickly recap. Explanation number one, it's a question of how to view a gold coin relative to a silver coin. Is it viewed as a commodity or is it viewed as a currency? And that's why we discussed this. We brought the whole Mishnah over here in the beginning of the fourth parak of Azav, above Metzia, because that's exactly what we're discussing. How to view a gold coin relative to a silver coin. Explanation number two is that you're only allowed to make one transfer of Kedusha onto your first coin, but then you cannot transfer onto your second coin. That's your second explanation. Both explanation number one and explanation number two were basically operating with Torah principles. Here in explanation number three, our third explanation is going to be that it's a gzera derabbanan. E itmar derav Yochum Rav Shimon ben Lakish hachi itmar. We are now second to last line on Memhamad Aleph. Chanamar machlokus slime al dinarim de beishamay savri gazrinan shema. We're now on the top of Memhamad Beis. Perhaps Yisha al Yosav de zimnan de lo malu zuze bidinare velo masik. Now in the Girsas we have either lo masik or lo masik lohu. Right, if you take a quick look at the Bach. And basically it's as follows. As we pointed out, there are 25 silver coins that go into a gold coin. Now, that's a lot. And so basically, I'm looking now at my silver coins. I got 20. You know what? I got 20 silver coins. And I know right now it's time to go up to Yerushalayim. But I know I should. And I know it's a mitzvah. But right now, all I got is 20 silver coins. You know what? Let's just wait a little bit. Right? It's like you're a frequent flyer, Miles. We'll wait a little bit. We'll wait till I get enough miles, and then, you know, and then we'll travel. And then we'll vacation. So over here, I only got 20 silver coins. You know what? We're just going to wait. So Beis Shammai is worried that the person may simply postpone his trip to Yerushalayim based on the fact that he does not have enough silver Meister Sheni coins in order to transfer it over to a gold coin, and we might just postpone the whole trip. Okay, That's Beit Shammai's position. So all this really is nothing to do with how to view a gold coin relative to a silver coin, commodity versus currency. It doesn't have to do with one transfer versus two transfers. It has to do with a gzera derabbanan. And Beis Hillel, let's just finish this up. Beis Hillel savre lo gazrin and shem yishal yosav. Dechilo malu na mi bidinari asuki masik lahu. And Beis Hillel will say, no, we're not worried about such a thing. If it's time to go up to Yerushalayim, if we have a mitzvah, alila regal, people will go. They don't have enough silver coins to transfer to roll over into a gold coin. And so what? They'll go anyway. Ava beperos al dinarim divrei akol mechalina dekevin demekarvila mashaluhu. However, if we're talking about a direct transfer from the fruit onto a gold coin, everyone's in agreement that you're allowed to do that. Because again, it goes back to the point that we made in the very beginning. Otherwise, what are we looking at? The potential of all the fruit rotting, my mice are sheni fruit rotting, of course you're allowed to transfer it onto a gold coin. V'chana marafila beperos al dinarim nami machlokis. And then the other says no, that even though you're transferring it directly from the fruit onto a gold coin, it's also going to be the debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai alach lishon d'amar d'maderaisa mishor sharei v'rabbanon hu d'gazer bei haynu d'kani yaseh v'lo yaseh. The Gemara says this third explanation seemingly the best in terms of fitting into the Mishnah. Because if you look carefully at the Mishnah says yaseh versus lo yaseh. Do versus don't do. Meaning that it's a function of this is the preferred practice versus this is not the preferred practice. If we're talking about Gzera Derabbanan, I can understand how the Mishnah uses such soft and gentle language. However, if you're of the opinion of either explanation number one, number two, commodity versus currency, one transfer versus two transfers, so now we're talking about not this is the preferred method versus not this is the preferred method. The Mishnah should not be using such gentle language. The Mishnah should just simply be saying it works or it doesn't work. Mechalalinan versus lo mechalalinan mi ba'ilei. That should be the language used in the Mishnah and Ma'aser Sheni, because quite frankly, if the issue is either commodity versus currency, or the issue is one transfer, not two transfers, so then if you try to do it, it doesn't work on a Torah level. So the Mishnah's language should be mechalalinan versus lo mechalalinan. When the Mishnah says yaseh lo yaseh, it's like very gentle. Like, this is the best way you should do it. It's not the best way. It certainly sounds like from the language of the Mishnah that the third explanation, that gzera derabbanan, seems to be the best fitting explanation of that Mishnah in Ma'aser Sheni.